Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Beginners SEO Podcast with me, Phoebe Gill from The Plan Success. I'm super excited to invite Emma onto the podcast today. She is a great friend of mine, literally known her since I was about 8. And she's also been the inspiration for this podcast and has kept me accountable over the past year I've been doing it, because Emma actually has her own very successful podcast, Marketing Nuggets. Marketing Nuggets is the ultimate podcast for any marketing professional or anyone interested in marketing, actually. So all you small business owners out there, as it covers everything to do with marketing, like literally everything. And she also doesn't hold back, no gatekeeping. Emma shares everything you need to know. It's literally like probably more valuable than to listen to Emma's podcast than it is to do a full-on marketing degree. It's just all the insider secrets from step one to 100. It's brilliant. So Emma is head of marketing at a very prestigious UK company, and she shares all that knowledge on her podcast. So I highly recommend you to listen to her podcast. But today we're going to be discussing SEO, of course. Sorry, I got you all excited there. You probably thought you were going to learn everything about marketing. And I was like, no, sorry, back to SEO. we're going to be discussing SEO, but more kind of than that, we're going to be discussing whether it's even right for your business, because unfortunately, it's not right for everyone because there are some limitations to it depending on, you know, different factors, your type of your business. So that's what I want to discuss with Emma today. How you've used SEO in the past, your experience of working with SEO agencies, when you think there should be a budget for SEO, or, you know, when you should think you should allocate your time to it, or when people should focus on other channels. So before we dive in, and to stop me blabbering on anymore, I'd love for the listeners to learn a little bit more about you, your marketing background, so that people can kind of really understand how much of a marketing pro you are and why we should be definitely listening to you at Marketing Nuggets. So take it away, Emma.
Hello. Well, firstly, that was a very, very kind introduction. I am so excited to be here, and we are definitely podcast buddies. You also motivate me to keep going week in, week out with our podcast. So I'm so excited to be here. And Phoebe has actually been a guest on my podcast as well. So go and listen to, she's got 3 episodes on Marketing Nuggets, all about SEO. So you can cross channel, listen to her there. So yeah, that was a really great intro. I don't know if I can cap it. A bit of my background that is not Marketing Nugget. So I've worked in marketing for over 10 years. I initially started out over in e-commerce, but I've always been a bit of a general marketer. I dabbled in email marketing, event marketing, website, organic social, paid social, even learning Google Ads. I predominantly worked in B2C. I went into FMCG, which is fast moving consumer goods. I didn't know that either. And I worked for a British protein bar brand called Grenade, where I headed up their international marketing. Over there, I picked up a couple of extra channel experience in trade, exhibitions, influencer sampling, and stunt marketing. And then since the age of 26, I have been in marketing manager positions, where I've been predominantly responsible for marketing strategy, marketing budget, managing people. And now, yeah, I'm over in the B2B space and heading up marketing there, kind of just taking the B2C template and putting it over to B2B. I think I just work in marketing. I don't really think I work in B2B because I am not doing any white papers anytime soon. And as Phoebe mentioned, I have Marketing Nuggets, where I started it because I hated not having a marketing mentor. And when I was mentoring my team, I was like, I wish more people could like know this, because it's not like I'm not saying anything profound. I'm just saying things from my experience. So as Phoebe mentioned, I share the good, the bad, and the ugly to help other ambitious marketers over on Marketing Nuggets.
That was so useful. And as you can see, Emma really is like, she knows it all. So what she's about to tell us today, I'd really, really recommend you sort of take advice from it. And if perhaps she says that SEO isn't the right channel for you, then goodbye. We won't be listening to you anymore. We won't be hearing from you anymore.
Oh, no.
But that's fine, because but I only want to help small business owners that I know I can help. There's enough sort of businesses out there that need SEO. I don't think everyone should try and do it. So, okay. Let's start at the beginning. As a very experienced marketeer, as you, literally you've done it all, what are the main marketing channels you think every small business owner, regardless of their industry, regardless of their niche, what do you think everyone should be focusing on?
So I love this question because so many people that I have interacted with and had this question thrown at me, I'm like, wait, before you think about what you should be doing, what you need to do is actually like reverse the question a bit and take into account what you're good at, because you have to do this at the end of the day if you've got nobody doing it for you. And so even if that's an initial starting point, there's no point doing a blog if you're a horrible writer. During COVID, I was like, I need to start a blog. I did 3 weeks and then I was like, I hate writing. What am I doing? Like, I would dread doing it. I hated it. So even if it had the benefits, I was like, I'm not enjoying this and I'm not going to sustain it. And consistency is so important. So yes, it needs to be where your audience are hanging out, but it needs to be something that you can realistically do and stick to. So having said that, channel wise, so I am already thinking that you've got a website, because you've got to have a website, in my opinion, whether you're a product, whether you're a service-based business, or even if you're a local physical shop, still think you've got to have a presence, even if it's a very simple website. So if I was them, I would aim to start with 2 to 3 channels. So for me, this would be social, one social channel, one longer form content channel, and then one that's more relevant to your industry. So let me give you some examples. I would do TikTok, podcasts, because I can talk, but I can't write. And then I would do Google ads, and I would do basic search ads that you can teach yourself. Google have lots and lots of courses on that. So some other mixes could be Instagram, blog, and maybe an event if you're a local business and there's an event that you could do. But overall, like, that's just kind of a mix of popular channels in that kind of thinking of doing a social channel, longer form, and then a low-hanging fruit channel. So think of it as like you want somewhere that's like a bit more of a casual, hello, this is who I am. You can engage them, entertain them, just get people to learn about you. And that's where social's great. It could be TikTok. I like TikTok just because of the algorithm. It's a bit kinder than the Instagram algorithm. But Instagram is still, it's still there. It's still good. It's like, I actually prefer Instagram as a consumer. I prefer Instagram if I'm creating content, because I'm a millennial. I'm so much more used to creating Instagram content for years versus TikTok, which I find harder. It's not just, doesn't come naturally to me. But as a consumer, I actually prefer to view TikTok. So that's why I'm saying pick your favorite. Also pick where your audience might be hanging out. So that's your hello channel. Not really much about you. Could be some quick snippets. And then you need a channel that's like, I know what I'm talking about channel. So that could be where it's your blog, your podcast, your longer YouTube videos, something where people can, you've perked their interest and they want to learn more about you and what you do. I think with both of these things, it's really important. I know that the goal is to sell, but you can't go into it going sell, 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 sell. You need to think more about how can you engage people? How can you entertain people? How can you get people to stop and think and hook them? And then the sale will come once they trust you. It's so easy to be like, buy my services straight away. And it's like, that's as tempting as it is. As tempting as it is, it's really not a good one. And then, the low-hanging fruit channel. So I like this as a third option, because there is always, touch wood, going to be somebody in the market for your channel, for your service, for your product. And so if you do something like PPC ads, paid social, or a local event, or something where you're getting people that they know they want to buy it, so you don't have to then bother with A and B, because they already are going to buy the service. So you will get some swooped up in that. So that's why I like to add it in as a third channel, where it's not so, it's a bit more tangible. And you can definitely, like, paid ads has been one of the most successful channels for me from a lead perspective. So that's why I always like bung it in there as start with that one.
I really like the idea of paid socials, because
often when you start thinking of PPC, I always immediately think of Google ads, which even though like I've dabbled in it, like I'm nowhere near an expert in it. I do find it a bit like, oh, heck, it's a lot to learn. But whereas with paid socials, they come up to you and they say, hey, do you want to boost this post? Like it's all done for you, really. So that's a really good sort of low hanging fruit. And like you said, there will be someone that wants to buy it, like, or learn more about you.
And with the paid social, one thing that for years, actually, it would be like, here's your organic social. And no one can see me. In one section is your organic social, in social section, in the other one is your paid social, and they weren't talking to each other and it was completely separate content. And actually, you don't need to think like completely separate entities. You can literally use your organic social as social proof. Take whatever's working on your organic social and then put some money behind it. Like that's like the most basic entry level way in. You don't have to create different content. You don't need to think of them as separate things. Just take a well-performing reel and boost it. You can do some really simple targeting on the app itself. You don't have to go into Meta Business Manager, which is a bit more complicated. It's still pretty self-explanatory. You can do some targeting in there as well. But if you just want an entry level, you could even just do it on your app and just do some basic level targeting, which, like, for me, for Marketing Nuggets, would be people interested in marketing throughout the ages of 20 to 35. I always target predominantly women because my audience is like 80% women. Mm-hmm. So I just think, sorry, men. And also so that's what I target. And then just kind of add a couple more interesting words in there that are like small business, entrepreneur, just kind of some words that might resonate with my audience.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
Oh, you make it sound so simple. Like, this is why you're great. You just make marketing very attainable and achievable. But no, but also you throw in like words there that I don't really use in my vernacular day to day. Like, honestly, full disclosure, before I started listening to Marketing Nuggets, I never referred to like these things as channels. But like, now I pick up this vocabulary because of you. Like, honestly, everyone should listen to your podcast. It's so good. Okay. So I think that's kind of also helped with the next question, which is the pros and cons of some of these channels. But let's just do a quick. So the ones you've, because we prepped this podcast beforehand, guys. So the ones you mentioned here were socials and longer forms, the pros and cons. So just quickly, sort of the pros of socials.
So the pros of socials are anyone can do it. You don't need tech. It's actually better like just to use your phone because it's much more authentic content. You don't need any special software and you don't need any special knowledge. You can just start creating content on whichever platform is the most comfortable for you. If you're B2B, I really recommend LinkedIn, obviously. So I haven't mentioned that, but LinkedIn would be a great one. It's a lot easier in some ways because it's not as daunting as, say, the TikTok interface where there's all sorts of different things that you can do in the back end to create your content. So, yeah, I think that one's – anyone can do it is the pro in a quick snap.
Yeah, true. Anyone can do it. Okay, what about the main con of socials?
The main con of social, except for Pinterest – and potentially LinkedIn, is the shelf life. So LinkedIn has a good shelf life. It's probably about up to 2 weeks, I would say, where your content is going to still be served to people if people are still engaging with your content. LinkedIn is the best platform for that. Having said that, though, the average person, that's not a B2B marketer, logs into LinkedIn only once a week. And so that's kind of why they let your content live for longer. On TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, it lasts like not very long. It will last longer if you've got a reel or on TikTok, but it's still kind of like you put your heart and soul into this content and then 24 hours later it's gone in a way. But it hasn't gone. The good thing is that it's on your profile. So I try and remember, like, people will come back and look at your stuff. They will see it if they are interested in you. So try not to get disheartened by it being like such a bad shelf life. Pinterest is a really good one if you're a product-based business because it's a search engine. It's actually more like Google than social. So people are searching for things. If you're a business where you've got visual things, then your shelf life is going to be longer on there. But I think it is really difficult trying to do this with my own one, as Marketing Nuggets is my side hustle on top of my full-time job. It's the thing where I'm like, oh, it's just overwhelming sometimes because you want to create all of this content and you're like, but it's only going to last a couple of days.
Yeah, no, exactly. Disheartening is the word, isn't it? You're just like, oh God. And then I just kind of think, is it like this forever? Am I going to be having just to produce this forever?
Yeah. And it's so funny because I see it from both angles. Having Marketing Nuggets as my side hustle, I see how difficult it is. Like, I don't have the time to do it. I wish I did. And it's saying that 2024 is my year to make content for Marketing Nuggets, not just my podcast. But I see it in my 9-to-5 job, Monday to Friday, where I see the corporate side of it, where we are getting these results. And do you know what? It is everything that they say in the theory of having that consistency, having a couple of channels, making the channels work together in harmony. And I'm like, oh, it actually does work. I just don't do it. And I'm like, that's like, it's kind of, you're in the structured position where it's like promising the small businesses that it does work because I see it. It's just the doing it, which is sometimes the most difficult.
It's a mindset thing, I think, with small business owners to be like, you really do have to allocate, because chances are you probably haven't got the budget to outsource it. So you've got to find it in your schedule every week and treat it as important as perhaps making your product or working on your services. You really need to like block out time for marketing.
Yeah. And that's why I said that, like, choose something that you can do, take your skills into account, take what's like, there's nothing worse than like biting off more than you can chew. And that's what I do all the time with Marketing Nuggets. And I'm like, oh, so I get it. I completely relate, but I promise that if you do have that consistency, then you will get the results. Even if the consistency is like 2-3 posts a week, that's better than no posts a week. Don't try and set yourself 5 posts a week. If you only have an hour a week to do marketing, you're not gonna do it, and you're gonna burn out very quickly.
That's so true. And actually, that's kind of leads us on to longer form content, because I know, for instance, with my podcast, I started just off doing once fortnightly. And that's because I just wanted to build up that consistency habit. And it's what I could stick to. And I think I always say this when we're talking about blogging on the podcast, it's so much better for you to write 500 words a week and build up, you know, a long form how to guide over the course of 3 weeks. Versus, oh, I'm going to publish a blog every single week. That's 1,000 words long, whatever. You won't. That kind of leads on to, as I can see, what the pro is from your opinion of longer form content. What would you say the pro is of longer form content?
I swear we didn't plan this, but it is actually true that the benefits from longer form content, when I'm talking about blogs and podcasts here, it's not so much with YouTube. I guess it is if it's because people are searching on YouTube. So I kind of guess it is, but it's in a different way. It's the SEO. You're sticking around. People are finding you. So I've had Marketing Nuggets for 2 years. I've not done any marketing on my podcast ever. I have a little Instagram page that I always forget about. Never do it. All of my listeners for my podcast come through organic by finding me. And that's either by Google or Spotify or Apple when they're searching for these key marketing words and they find me. So I'm like, huh. So it has got me, I mean, SEO has got me this far in my side hustle. And I think that it is easier to spot. Whereas when I'm working in corporate and I'm working with 10 to 15 channels day in, day out, having that kind of visibility of what SEO is doing is a bit more murky than when I can really see it getting 2,000 listeners a month because they can find me. And so when I'm doing things like my podcast titles, I'm thinking, what are my keywords? How can I put those in? So it's very similar to what you talk about. That's what like I'm now putting into practice. The other pro to longer form content is that you can make shorter form content from your longer form content. So that's really helpful. If you've done one blog and it's taken you 2 weeks to do it, that's great. The next week, don't do another blog. Use that blog and get quotes. Make a video about the top five things about it. Write a, like, do a little caption on it. Put something on LinkedIn. Like, you can use that to your benefit. So you're not having to go, oh my gosh, I need to start again now. No, like, use that content for all it's worth to then on different platforms.
I'm always talking about AI now at the moment as well. And that's a great tool you can use AI for, to like, it'll just automatically find bits that it thinks would do well in short film content. So you can just, like, even with Riverside on this recording, it, once I've done recording, the it'll show me the clips that I can just then download to Instagram ready made for me. It's great. So
yeah.
Use AI to speed up your sort of making the content for Instagram or TikTok, whatever like that. Thank you very much. Oh, yes. You were going to say something. Yes.
On what platform do you use for AI? I'm interested.
So a few, actually. I do still use ChatGPT, but also when it comes to sort of creating, say, writer's briefs or outlines for posts or things like that, I use one called Moonbeam, it's a paid one, but I do really like it. It's just because also I think it's one of the few ones that can actually read articles that I put into it, if that makes sense, because ChatGPT is already just pulling from the databases. It won't read an article for you, but Moonbeam can. So it's quite handy in that sense.
I've written it down. I asked because I use something called Claude.ai.
I haven't heard of that one. There's so many.
And again, I use this one. Let me just check I'm giving you the right one. Yeah, Claude.ai. And I use that because it can read documents as well. I had the same thing where I was like, ugh, it's so annoying. Like, had this white paper, it was 35 pages. I was like, I do not want to read that. So I literally uploaded it and it told me the summary points. So yeah, definitely recommend using AI as your marketing assistant, especially if you're a one-man band marketer or a small business owner. Then, like, I use it as my, because I have a copywriter, which is great, but my copywriter is not always available. So I'm like, what do? I can't write copy. So I just chuck it into Claude and it helps me so much.
Yeah, really. Like, honestly, guys, start thinking how you can use AI. It really does help. And I'm going to cut myself off there. That is the end of part one of Emma Windsor's marketing masterclass, I would actually say. Emma Windsor from Marketing Nuggets. We will be back next week with the second part of her amazing episode. Honestly, so many valuable gems in there. If you're a small business owner, or you know someone that runs a small business and they're struggling with their marketing, send them that episode and send them next week's episode as well. Honestly, so much value to come as well. Next week, Emma actually shares some really amazing marketing ideas, like really thinking outside the box, which anyone can do. Like, obviously, she's had experience of working with really big businesses with big budgets, but she's also worked in the past on smaller companies and has had to get really inventive with her marketing. She shares some of those ideas next week as well as sort of sharing what she would do if she were a small business and how she would market it herself. So you're not going to want to miss next week's episode. In the meantime, if you want to learn more about Emma, be sure to check out her podcast, Marketing Nuggets. She also has her Instagram as well, so make sure you're following her there. I can't stress it enough how much I've learned from her, and I hope you are as well. I also wanted to share like her episode because I wanted to give a really balanced view that sometimes SEO isn't the be-all and end-all. If you've decided to go down the SEO route, excellent. I applaud you for it. It's my favorite one. But, you know, find something that works for you is the key. And also be consistent as well. Start small, stay consistent, and just focus on it. Because as Emma always says, you can't do everything. So really, it comes a case of finding what fits your business and what works well for you.
In the meantime, if you do want to focus on SEO and you've got no idea where to start, please head to www.theplansuccess.com for my free SEO resources. Or you might want to check out my course as well, where I optimize your website from A to Z, and you don't need to know any SEO knowledge at all to take that. I'll walk you through it step by step. And finally, make sure you're following along at Instagram at The Plan Success. Shoot me any DMs or questions you've got. Oh, and then finally as well, as I've learned I should be saying, if you enjoy this podcast and you're getting any sort of value out of it, please leave me a review or just leave me some stars, however many stars you think I deserve, preferably 5. But, you know, if you don't think I deserve 5, don't leave me 5. Be honest, I can take it. I'm a big girl. On Spotify or iTunes as well. And that is all for today. Wow, that spiel at the end really does drag on, doesn't it? I'm really sorry about that. All right. Bye, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And until next time.